Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
I feel like I'm getting better at that transition. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the April 1st, 2019 edition of The Raw Reaction here on the ChairShot Radio Network. This is your annual WrestleMania preview edition, so we will be going right into our WrestleMania preview after we briefly covered the go-home episode of tonight's Monday Night Raw. But first, a couple of things that I feel the need to discuss here. I know it was kind of a topic for discussion inside of the group chat. Well, first I should tell everybody who we are. I'm your host. My name is Harry Broadhurst. Joining me, as per usual, the Down Since Day One co-host, Tony Acero.
Yo.
And the line in the sand, Andrew Balash.
Hey!
Okay, so we were kind of discussing it in our group chat, and I want to get your guys' thoughts on a more... on a more audio, more visible platform for everybody to hear here. Have you had a chance to watch the John Oliver Last Week Tonight bit about the WWE yet? I have.
Yes. No, I didn't.
Andrew, have you seen it?
I have seen it.
Tony, have you seen it?
No. I read it.
Okay. Okay, so you read about what John Oliver had to say here. Andrew, as somebody who actually saw the video, what was your takeaway from it?
My takeaway was that it was funny and it told a story from a perspective that many of us are aware of, and he has a point. Like, nothing he said was false, but as we were discussing in the group, and the point that Greg brought up is a point that I've brought up multiple times when I've had the conversation with other people, especially on Potter's War with Platt, it's not something that people really, that the actual performers really hit home about. They're more concerned about their booking. They're more concerned about pushes or not being on TV. And it's also a known quantity. Like, you go to WWE, it's been the same for God knows how long. They get paid ample enough to kind of compensate some of the shortcomings of the health insurance. Plus, it's not like WWE doesn't pay for rehab and injury time and all that stuff. Like, just because it's not worked into the contract doesn't mean we don't all know they've paid for people that are on the roster, used to be on the roster, for to do God knows what, and to try to help them out. So it's not like WWE just closes up their wallet and says, fuck you, it's not on the contract, so we don't owe you shit.
Tony, we know about the downside guarantees in case somebody gets injured, but I want to ask your thought on the independent contractor thing, because it's a conversation that has long come up ever since Jesse Ventura tried to unionize wrestling back in the 80s. Do you feel that the independent contractors label still applies to the WWE? And if you could change it, how would you?
I didn't care then, and I don't care now.
Very helpful into the discussion, Tony. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Give me something to work with, please.
There's still independent
contractors.
You know
what you sign up for when you get there. You know what you're doing. You know why you're doing it, and that's pretty much it.
And there's still independent contractors. Lots of bigger companies work off of contracted help, but they're contracted for X amount of time. I have friends that work for Bristol-Myers Squibb who, they are not technically Bristol-Myers Squibb employees. They basically go through a temp agency or some kind of housing agency where they can get you know, their health benefits and everything like that from. But Bristol Myers Squibb is like, hey, we're going to contract you for 3 years, and we're going to have you sign this NDA where you can't, you know, break the contract, or then you're in breach of the contract, and after your contract with us is up, you have X amount of days or months or years or however fucking long it is that you can't join another company of similar, you know, medical yada 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 that Bristol Myers Squibb is. I don't obviously know the whole thing because it's his contract, not mine. But I've had this conversation with him before. So it's still independent contractors. You're still your own person contracting to do work. You're just agreeing to their schedule. There's plenty of other places you could go to if you so choose, but the money is obviously the reason why people go to WWE and deal with the bullshit, so to speak.
The rumor is that AEW's owners, Tony and Amir Khan, are going to be offering health insurance with their contracts. Do you feel that this is going to influence the WWE, the McMahons, Triple H, whoever else happens to be on top of the power scheme once the AEW launch gets off the ground, assuming it does? Do you think that this is going to influence them to perhaps offer the same to their employees? Tony?
No.
I hate when you're succinct.
I mean, haven't we heard recently from either Adam Cole or someone who left ROH in the last year or so that ROH offers a health plan of some sort? So if health insurance was really the driving factor of, you know, in-ring professionals, or what we really want to call them, you know, then why are people jumping ship from ROH as soon as they make a little bit of a name for themselves and jump to this evil, evil corporation that doesn't give you health insurance and is apparently Satan?
Tony, do you have anything to add to this conversation?
No, not particularly.
All right, fair enough. Figured I'd ask. WrestleMania week is upon us, and the other thing to discuss before we get into tonight's episode of Raw is your expectations for this weekend's shows. Will you guys be trying to catch any of the other shows besides the WrestleMania-specific ones, TakeOver and Mania itself? Tony?
I'm having a hard enough time trying to watch Mania with work and everything. So, no, probably not.
See, I figured Andrew would be the more specific person to ask here. I know you're going to the G1 Supercard. Is there anything else WrestleMania weekend that has your interest, Andrew?
I mean, United We Stand has my interest if I, you know, am not busy within the next few days. But, see, the problem is All Japan's Champion Carnival starts up on the 4th, so I have to cover that for the site. So my whole week this week is just going to be packed with wrestling of some sort, be it either located in and around New York or just going on that's topical. So, yes, there's a lot of shit that I'm going to be taking in. What? I'm not exactly sure yet because I don't know how to schedule my time out at the moment.
Given as close to MetLife as you are you going to try to go to Mania on Sunday?
If I can find fairly cheap tickets that aren't in the nosebleeds, perhaps, because I'm trying to just do that wait till the last second to see if I can scoop some pretty good seats for, like, not, you know, a mortgage payment. So, you know, we'll see.
Tony, do you think we'll ever see a WrestleMania on the West Coast again?
I mean, I'm sure eventually we'll get one.
He is really succinct tonight, and it's driving me up a fucking wall. All right, let's get to it. This is your final reaction for the April 1st, 2019 edition of Monday Night Raw, and then we have 14 matches to Jesus Christ. At least it's not 17 like we're rumored. Although there's talk that there might be a tag team title match or two added still as well. So, you know, fuck it. All right, let's do it. Favorite match or moments from tonight's episode of Raw, Tony?
Man. Batista's promo.
Andrew.
The tag team match with Revival and Blackache or Airstrike or whatever the hell they're going to be called.
Alishay.
Sounds like,
sounds like Allison. Sounds like Allison, like we're trying to bring back Allison Danger in the original era of Shimmer. I'm going to go with the demon reveal. I really enjoyed the way that it came off. I mean, Lashley kind of did nothing to help the importance of it, just standing there stone-faced. But Leo put it over, and I think we as fans tend to enjoy the demon side of Balor because it seems like he puts in an extra effort when he has the demon attire on. The least favorite match or moment tonight, Tony?
The whole cop thing. That whole thing was a mess. It was a mess.
Andrew.
Least favorite was probably that 8-woman tag with Sasha and got what that was just messy and sloppy. And yes, I could have picked Cruz and Jinder or the Braun squash match, but they didn't really last long enough for me to have a feeling. So when it comes to bad, I'm going with the 8-woman tag thing.
I am going with the Cruz and Jinder match. I get that it was there to put over the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, the Andre Memorial Giant Battle Royal, as we've called it before on the show, but yeah, I didn't fucking care. And I don't care about the Battle Royal, and not any kind of Saturday Night Live actors, air quotes, on an audio podcast are going to make me change my mind about that. That's such fodder this year. Spinning has been fodder pretty much every year, so whatever. All right, scale of 1 to 10 tonight, Tony, where do you fall?
3. This was supposed to be something worth watching, something to, you know, push forward. I'm not going to say it was supposed to be a show that made you want to watch WrestleMania, because WrestleMania is an event unto itself. So they didn't really have to sell the card so much as inform us of what it was going to be. But they added stuff that didn't need to be added. There was some shitty wrestling. I agree with Andrew that 8-person tag was not good. There was, I don't know, the Jinder versus Apollo was garbage. Everybody around the ring is everybody entering the ring and then it suddenly turning into a battle royal by proving that you could toss them over the rope. So if you get people getting tossed over and they're just like, oh shit, well I'm out. That wasn't even a match. If I'm going to beat your ass right now because I'm upset with you and I suddenly care about this fucking trophy that I haven't cared about all year, and then you throw me over the top rope, I'm still going to go back in and beat your ass. Just, there was a lot going on tonight, and it's probably for the best that we're not recapping and reviewing Raw because it would not have come out well.
Andrew?
I gave it a 5. Mainly because even though the in-ring performances were lacking, to put it nicely, I kind of was amused at some of the little things here or there. Like, not so much the Braun finding, you know, random black guy, random white guy to pretend they're Jost and Che and then challenge him to a match, but, you know, EC3 and Breeze playing off of each other was kind of amusing. And the fact that they kind of did the whole misdirection. Over there, they did it. It's not us. Look, kill them, not us. Like, that amused me. The police thing, where Tony is completely offended by it, I felt it went a little long, and I didn't really like the fact that as soon as one person got put in handcuffs, like, the other one decided to jump in, like, somehow they didn't know what was going to happen. Like, it was stagnated at the beginning. It was weird. It didn't come off natural, but it didn't bother me because it kind of a car crash segment, I guess, like I said in our little chat, was fair because it added some kind of heat. Yeah, there's going to be some kind of stupid, they got out of jail on a bail bond, they're, you know, they can do it on Sunday, but maybe Monday they all have a hearing. I don't know. It's some stupid shit. But it's not the first time WWE's done that. It's not the last. And I didn't hate it. It was kind of okay. Seeing some of the dumb shit that they pulled, like the glass breaking in the back, that was interesting. Ronda trying to drive a car with no hands, that was kind of funny. Like, it was all right. So, yes, for as where it lacked with some of the little intricacies in the ring, everything else around it kind of brought it up enough for me to not really hate tonight's show.
I'm at the same score interest. I gave it a 5 as well. While significantly lacking from what we've come to expect in terms of in-ring content, I found that understandable given what's 6 days away. Nobody's going to bust their ass from the go-home and risk getting hurt before the biggest show of the year and losing out on the biggest payday of the year. They had the stuff of importance that happened here. Dave's promo came off really well. The Demon segment came off pretty well, I thought. Stephanie's announcement came off fine enough for what it was. She didn't come out and waste 20 minutes of our time. She came out, did a quick April Fool's gimmick, whatever, yada, 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 and then got over with announcing the fact that it's now winner take all for that triple threat women's match that'll main event WrestleMania 35. But the only real arguing point that I had here is I kind of enjoyed the Ronda Charlotte Becky segment for what it was, because it looked like there was some real live fire in that, and it came off better that way. Like, some of those shots looked really came off really well on TV. Charlotte's parting knee, the last strike that was thrown in the segment, looked really good, I thought. And it's a different way to get to it. Whether or not it's a good way is discretionary, but it's a different way. And one of the things that we're always talking about here is how they go to the same old group of tried and true tropes that they always run to. This was something that we haven't seen from this kind of perspective, and especially not in the women's division. Who's your MVP tonight, Tony?
I'm going to give it to the Revival, both of them, that they showed. They do what they do, you know, it's the Revival. But the match was good. I was a little worried that they were going to lose. But no, they pulled off it's just, they're a joy to watch. It's weird to see, you know, how wrestling back in the day, if you want to call it that, like the 70s, a lot of people would watch it and consider it boring. But you look at the Revival, they're essentially a throwback, and they make it interesting by being able to adapt and kind of add their own flair to things. So, I don't know. Tonight's match was pretty good, and I think that they were a large part of the reasoning. Their opponents, too, but the Revival specifically.
I thought it was weird seeing Dash do a flip. I mean, it was like a kick flip, but it was still a flip. Andrew, MVP.
I'll go with Revival on this one too. Like, it was kind of a subdued show with things that didn't offend but didn't really, you know, off. So the fact that the Revival match was the thing that I thought was the best, let's just give it to them.
I'm going to go with Reigns and McIntyre for the backstage segment that they had with the brief conversation with Roman and then the McIntyre attack there. I actually think that given the hand that they've been dealt, it came off really well. Honorable MVP to Kurt Angle just as a farewell award. All right. That wraps up our go-home final reaction for Monday Night Raw. Obviously, we'll be back with the Raw after Mania and more detailed coverage for that episode of Monday Night Raw. But for now, it is now time for the fourth annual Raw Reaction WrestleMania Preview Spectacular. There are 14 matches on the card, possibly as many as 16, depending on which tag team titles get added. That is the first question I will ask both of you, is which of the tag team titles, if either, get added to the WrestleMania card? Andrew, you're up first on that.
Not enough information. If this is like a math question, not enough information, because we don't even know who the Usos might be going up against. If it's the Hardys, like they hinted at, then that has to get on the Mania card over Blackishay and the Revival or whatever. But I don't know if the Usos even have anything this year. They might be back on the pre-show or nothing.
Tony, do you add either of the tag team titles to the WrestleMania card?
I mean, sure, why not? I don't know how long this show is going to go. That I wouldn't cry if they added the Usos versus anybody, really. They're great wrestlers, so will they? I don't know.
Rumor is a multi-team tag match for the SmackDown tag team titles, possibly under a ladder match stipulation. The issue I could see with that is, I don't know if you guys have had a chance to look at the pay-per-view schedule, but did you see what the pay-per-view for May is this year? It's Money in the Bank. So I feel like that might cause them to maybe shy away from the ladder match, but I would not be surprised to see like a multi-team tag team match for the SmackDown tag team titles. I also wouldn't be surprised to see the tag titles unified much the same way they're doing with the women's titles. And just have one champion for the tag teams go back and forth between the two brands, especially once they split off, once we get closer to when they split off going to Fox in October. All right, let's start our predictions here. We'll go with the two matches most likely on the pre-show, the first of which, and I hate to say this because they deserve better, the Cruiserweight title match as 205 Live presents Buddy Murphy defending the Cruiserweight title against Tony Nese. Tony?
I like Tony Nese. I haven't seen 205 Live since Enzo, and even when I watched that, I think it was only because I had to recap it. So I can't really help with regards to making an educated decision. I'm just going to go with the Tony Nese and Adam.
Andrew.
This is rough, because Nese is on the whole redemption gimmick where he tried to kind of reimagine himself instead of Mr. 8-Pack or whatever the fuck he was before and kind of take shit a little more seriously. And he's buddies with Buddy Murphy. So there's a weird kind of undercurrent for this. I'd like to go with Tony, but I don't think he's big enough, and I don't mean muscularly. I don't know where it goes if Nese takes it, and I'd like to see it stay on Murphy, so I'm just going to go with Murphy.
I'm going to go with Tony Nese here, although caveat to this would be is if the title does stay on Buddy Murphy, I would not be surprised to see them try to move Rey Mysterio to 205 Live for a ratings generator.
Well, there's also the rumor that Gargano might go there, too.
Well, I mean, he's dead in the water on the main roster with the tag team falling through with Ciampa. It's not like they've treated him like anything more than a tag team afterthought on the main roster. Although they did just move Oney. They did just move Oney Lorcan over to the 205 main roster as well. The women's battle royal will probably be on the pre-show as well. Tony?
This is a SmackDown one, right?
It's all the women that aren't.
Yeah.
All the women that aren't
in
the triple threat.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Look, I'm going to say the same thing about the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. I don't give a shit at all. And neither does the WWE. So I don't know. I'm going to say fucking Mandy Rose wins both.
Andrew.
Since we don't even know everybody who's going to be in it, I'm going to just say Shayna Baszler wins the women's battle royal. I don't fucking know.
That's a make good for taking the women's title off of her on the SmackDown before WrestleMania. Asuka wins the women's battle royal. Let's go to the armbar. The Andre Rusev Memorial Battle Royal. Tony?
Yeah, Mandy Rose. No, EC3, sure.
Andrew.
Colin Jost.
You son of a bitch. I don't say that because I was picking Colin. I just want those fucks nowhere near the finish of this battle royal. You know what? I'm going to go with Rob Gronkowski.
You want him near the finish, but you wouldn't want the other ones that they've been building up as the celebrity people?
Okay, but the thing with Gronkowski is they just showed Gronkowski on the highlights from when Mojo won it. And with him recently retiring from the NFL and rumors that he's going to sign a part-time deal with the WWE, fuck it. Why the fuck not?
I mean, that's kind of everybody's reaction to these Battle Royals. Like, no one cares. It hasn't mattered since Cesaro won.
I would argue that it didn't matter when Cesaro won.
I mean,
and
they tried when Cesaro won, at least. They tried.
Do or do not. There is no try.
It only works in the Star Wars universe. This is WWE. They're within them, their own world and universe.
Women's tag team title match is a four-way as Sasha and Bayley defend against the Iconics, the Divas of Doom, and the Samoan Slaughterhouse.
That's a fucking stupid name.
Tony?
Yeah, I have a feeling that WrestleMania is going to have a lot of feel-good moments, and this is going to be a match where we don't get that. I think Nia and Tamina are going to win, and I'm going to be upset.
Andrew?
The nearest hospital's emergency room probably wins, because you've got Nia, and then you've got Sasha maybe trying to do something. Someone's going to die. So, hey.
Unfortunately, I can't write down New York Metro as the winner of this contest. I need an actual prediction.
Oh. Who the fuck do... fuck it. Let's keep it on Sasha and Bayley. Fine. I don't care.
I agree with Tony partially. I think that we are going to have a lot of babyface-heavy victories on this show. That being said, I don't think that Nia and Tamina are going to get the women's tag team titles. I think the team that's being overlooked the most going into this match is going to be the team that comes out with the belts. I'm picking the Iconics. We continue. Do you guys want to do Raw or SmackDown first? I feel like we should do SmackDown first since this is a Raw show.
Sure.
Way to sound enthused, Dangerous.
You're giving us options that don't matter. It's like, you want to talk about this thing we're going to talk about, or this other thing we're going to eventually talk about?
False count anywhere. Shane McMahon takes on The Miz. Who wins? Where does the pinfall happen? Tony.
The Miz is going to win. It's going to take place on top of The Miz's father.
George is involved in the finish. Andrew?
Okay, so Miz is going to win, and it's going to take place in a dumpster, because it's going to remind Miz of home.
Miz wins after he nicks Shane McMahon's leap of faith elbow drop through the announce table. AJ Styles
way to not be funny.
Well, one of us has to take this show seriously because clearly I'm the only one doing so. AJ Styles takes on Randy Orton. Potential rumors involve Kevin Owens maybe being added to this match to make it a triple threat. Why? Because who the fuck knows? Tony?
I'm going to assume that AJ Styles wins. This match, it's one of those matches where, like, the build is very, very minimal, but the match itself will probably be good. So, I don't know. I feel like this is one of the matches that kind of got shafted with the build where you may have wanted to add just a little bit more intrigue to it, but at the same time, it kind of builds itself. I'm going to go with AJ Styles winning.
Andrew.
My purely biased Randy Orton, you know, marked them. Orton's winning. Like, come on.
As the tiebreaker in this match, I too am picking Randy Orton. because
based on
what's going to happen a little bit later on the show, it sets up Orton as the first challenger.
Now I see where you're going with that. Okay.
U.S. title match, she's Samoa Joe defend against Rey Mysterio, but what the fuck does Rey Mysterio matter? He just lost to Baron Corbin tonight on Raw. Way to make your challengers look strong. Well, at least they didn't beat the champion. Tony?
Yeah, that match was boring as shit. I believe that Samoa Joe is going to win. Rey Mysterio doesn't need to win.
Andrew.
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of the shorter matches because Ray only lost because he, like, tweaked his ankle or fucked up his knee or whatever the hell he was favoring through the latter portion of that match. So they still protected him a little bit. And Joe is going to use that to his advantage. So it's not going to be a very long match, I don't feel. And Joe's going to win.
Joe finally gets a WrestleMania match in year three with the company, having been injured for the previous two. Joe retains. I would not be surprised to see the return of the U.S. title open challenge on the SmackDown. The SmackDown Heavyweight Championship is on the line as Daniel Bryan defends against Kofi Kingston.
Oh, El Generico. Okay.
Thanks, Tony. SmackDown title, Tony.
You know, the whole, like, you know, hemp belt and how on fire Bryan has been and just all the good things that he's done would lead me to believe that he's going to retain the title. But with everything that they've done with Kofi Kingston, even though they've, in my opinion, kind of stretched the bounds of what they tried to create organically, I still see Kofi's story culminating in a WrestleMania win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like this is going to be one of the one for the good guys kind of ending, and Kofi's going to win it. Granted, it's not going to be a very long reign. I feel Bryan's going to do something, and, you know, get a rematch at some point. So, Kofi will have maybe a month or so, but it'll be Kofi winning here.
I don't think it's even going to be a month, Andrew. I think it's going to be the Christian special.
I was hoping it wouldn't be. That's why I'm being a little optimistic.
I'm saying with Orton winning the match against Styles earlier on the show, Kofi beats Bryan for the SmackDown title. Orton gets granted a title match on the SmackDown after WrestleMania, and Randy wins the title at the SmackDown after WrestleMania. I like Kofi Kingston. I love the fact that the fans have gotten so behind him as organically as it's come about, which kind of sucked for Mustafa Ali, but it is what it is in that situation. That being said, and it pains me to say this, Kofi is not somebody who can sustain a world heavyweight title reign. I don't think that he has the draw.
I don't think Kofi has the drawing. Ultimate slap in the face, Harry.
I'm listening.
I thought you were going to say that the way Vince finally screws over Kofi is that on Mania, in mid, like, celebration, Vince declares Randy gets a title shot, and you just see RKO out of nowhere, maybe, like, off of Big E's shoulders or something like that, while they're toting him around because he just won, and to ruin the celebration. So, Kofi Tech.
Well, you could do that on SmackDown. You could have them celebrating the win in the ring and then have Vince tell him that he has to defend the title. Bam, Orton.
But how much bigger of a slap would it be on Mania?
I'm not disagreeing with that, but I think that there's going to be other heel moments on this show that I think you're going to need to keep the happy moment here with Kofi.
Perhaps. Yeah, I could get you.
Let's move over to the Raw side of things as Triple H takes on Batista, no holds barred. Tony?
This is Triple H's match to win. I mean, him retiring wouldn't really mean anything to us, but I'm pretty sure when he does actually retire, he's going to want to make it one of the biggest deals ever. So he'll beat Batista. Batista will be there to, you know, be beaten, and all will continue on.
Andrew?
Oh, yeah. I still contend with how I saw the story going last week, where this is definitely more of a big brother, little brother kind of situation, where the little brother sees it as a blood feud and that you fucked me over and you held me down. And what you want? It's funny. Yeah, I held you down. You got this. You got this. Uh-huh, sure, whatever. Do your thing. So Triple H ain't going to take it seriously for a while. Batista's going to fire up, find some old animal bit, you know, scare Triple H at some point, and Triple H is going to survive by the skin of his teeth. And there we go.
Yeah, this match pretty much exists so that way Triple H can finally get the win over Batista that he wanted, or that Batista's claimed that he's wanted, or however you want to look at it. It's nice to see Batista in the ring, probably one last time. I've never had anything against him. I've never been a huge fan of the guy, but I've never been a huge detractor either. I was there in attendance for one of the most well-executed turns in WWE history when he turned on Rey back in 2009 at Bragging Rights, which is a personal live, a favorite live moment, one of my personal favorite live moments that I was there for. But, yeah, the only reason this match is happening is so that Triple H can finally get his win over Dave. I do like your idea, though, Andrew, of them playing it out big brother, little brother style. I'll be curious to see how this goes. All right, let's go to the retirement match for Kurt Angle as he takes on Baron Corbin. Tony?
Yeah, what the fuck is happening here? A lot of people are pointing toward Corbin and Angle actually happening and that being it. Considering what happened tonight, I mean, I'm getting conflicting reports. One says Angle was unable to compete. One says they scratched it due to time. I don't know what's true. I don't really care. The show sucked. But if you watch tonight, Corbin made a Rey Mysterio match boring. And you know what's funny is I try actively to like Corbin on a weekly basis. His promo tonight wasn't bad. He said everything he had to say. He hit it on point. He didn't sound like a douche in real life. He sounded like a douche like he should have. And that promo alone was like, oh, that was good stuff, Corbin. About 2 years too late, but it was good stuff. But the match is just, I mean, I know Rey Mysterio has lost quite a few steps, but how do you make a Rey Mysterio match boring? There are certain moves that he hits that just weren't crisp. They look kind of dangerous. He's just a boring wrestler. And, I mean, he's not Lance Storm, you know? It's not, like, boring from a technical standpoint. It's just, you are the watchery of the WWE.
Okay, that might be a little bit too mean to Corbin.
No.
I like how matter-of-fact when you were about that. You're just like, no.
What's your official prediction for the match itself, Tony?
Oh, Kurt Angle's going to win. Whoever he faces, whether it be a returning Cena or, I don't fucking know, Shelton Benjamin, Kurt Angle's going to win.
Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, I was on the Vince Russo swerve train as soon as this was announced, if we remember correctly. So I think it's going to be the same thing with how hard they're hitting the Corbin is the Mania opponent that's going to quote-unquote retire Kurt Angle, and nobody's liking it, and Corbin doesn't care, so he's trying to feed into the heat even more. Like, Corbin's playing his role, but it's just the points are so belabored, and just they're hit too hard to assume that it's going to go off cleanly without a hitch. So either Corbin feigns an injury and maybe has Shelton Benjamin as a stand-in, and then Shelton's the one that retires Kurt, and then Corbin claims victory since, you know, it was him that put it in motion or something stupid, but I don't think it's going to be Corbin versus Angle outright. So if we have to pick Corbin versus Angle, I say Angle wins, but whatever his final retirement match is, assuming it's not actually this, Angle loses and he goes out on his back.
I do think we are going to get Angle and Corbin, and Kurt Angle is going to tap Baron Corbin inside of 3 minutes. And it would not surprise me to see it happen even quicker than that. Rumors are Cena. Rumors are a whole lot of people, honestly. There's talk going around that Hogan's going to be around for Mania. There's talk going around that Rock will be there. There's a lot of different people that they could put into this spot with Angle. There's a lot of different people that they could put into this spot with Corbin. But as far as the Angle and Corbin match goes, Angle Corbin does happen, and Kurt taps Corbin out inside of 3 minutes. The IC title is on the line when Bobby Lashley defends against the Demon and Balor. Tony?
Well, you know, the Demon's coming back, so he's not going to lose.
Andrew?
Same outcome, but not just because of the Demon, because they're going to use the Demon gimmick probably the same way they used Undertaker, where they're going to have him be undefeated on main event pay-per-views until somebody has enough momentum. And Lashley's got literal zero momentum behind him as a character or for an angle or anything. So it would make no sense for him to beat Demon. So Demon wins.
All right, let me ask you a question in regards to that undefeated on major events. Would NXT count in that timeline, or are we talking strictly WWE?
I said main roster. I'm fairly sure I said main roster.
No, you said main events, like main pay-per-view. Well, I guess main pay-per-views would be main. Okay, fair enough. Because Demon has lost before as long-time NXT.
I know he did. I know he did. That's how Samoa Joe got his title. I'm aware.
I'm just passing along information here.
To those who do
I'm
not know, Harry is correct.
Balor wins. Lashley has no momentum going for him. Balor has another opponent coming out of Mania from our next contest, which is Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre. Tony?
I don't know. This is a tough one because Roman Reigns, I mean, is he like no longer the golden boy? You know? Drew's great and he's been doing great, but I think they're going to give it to Reigns. I don't think that they're off that train quite yet. Now that he's healthy, they're going to slowly ease him back in. So Reigns wins this one.
Andrew?
I think it's going to be the uphill battle with Reigns because they caught lightning in a – well, that's not a great analogy, so I'm not even going to say it. But he garnered sympathy from the fans one way or the other. I guess I'm not saying it didn't exist, but I'm just saying he is now a sympathetic character. So I don't think they're going to give him the big win coming off of a cancer, you know, battle and coming off of a concussion, quote unquote, you know, regardless if that's real or not. And Drew's got a lot of momentum behind him. It would be really great for him to beat Roman, not only because he's been saying he's tougher than cancer. It gives Roman something to overcome. It gives him a new, you know, like rival, gives him a new obstacle to get back to the main event. And just he needs to build himself back up from where he is now, since people actually like him. And nobody wants to see him go back to shove down your throat, Roman. Like, they have a chance to do something and to make him the character they wanted to make him from the beginning. So let's not rush this. So McIntyre wins.
I word for word agree with Andrew. Mm-hmm. This is an opportunity. This is an opportunity to put Roman in legitimate peril by having him facing the man who took him out twice in his attempt to return to the show. You can play off the fact that Roman is not yet 100% yet. And this is a win that McIntyre can build his career on. Roman does not need this victory. One could argue that McIntyre does. McIntyre wins. The Universal Heavyweight title is on the line as Brock Lesnar defends against Seth Rollins. Tony?
Sorry. Yeah, Seth Rollins is going to take the belt. I don't know what they're doing, though. I mean, it looks like Brock has, like, the weakest balls known to man. And I'm not saying that I wouldn't fucking crumble if someone hit me in the nuts, but I'm pretty sure we've seen...
Well, specifically, I think Balor focused on the stomach.
Oh, okay. I remember someone hitting him in the balls. Anyways, it may have been AJ Styles. yeah, I see Seth winning. I don't know what they're planning on doing afterwards. I don't know. This whole... It's like, you know, we would talk about how WrestleMania, or how the WWE is able to build matches where sometimes pay-per-views, they have nothing until, like, the week before, and then sometimes they have matches, like, an entire month ahead of time, and it's that interim time where they have no idea what they're doing. I feel like the WWE really, really mishandled a lot of the matches going forward, and although this one isn't one that was mishandled, it simply was repetitive. Nothing new was brought up, and now we get to the point where they have to wrestle, and it just, you have to ask the question, is this something that I absolutely have to see? And the answer should be yes for WrestleMania, at least for one of the big matches like this one. And it just kind of isn't. I'm more interested in what they do after WrestleMania than the actual event itself. And I think that's kind of an unfortunate feeling. So yeah, Seth Rollins.
I feel like I'm going to end up agreeing with Andrew here again, so I'll let Andrew go first here, but I'm curious because I think we might be on the same wavelength with this one. Andrew?
Yeah, we might be, depending. So I think this is going to be one of those sad boy outcomes because I don't see Rollins overcoming him. Like, it's been played up in an interesting way. Rollins had to hit him in the balls and kind of take a cheap shot. Yes, he was marginally provoked because there was Brock running his shoulder into him. Oh, God, time to hit somebody in the balls because you bumped me. And Rollins
right.
doesn't have a clean win over Lesnar. Rollins hasn't – his momentum has been stalled a bit. And kind of like you were saying, you don't really see where it goes. Like, who's the next biggest heel? Yes, argument, McIntyre. That's a built-in feud right there. But how come that couldn't be the number one contender match to get to who faces Lesnar at SummerSlam or whatever? You could have McIntyre go through the Shield completely, like decimate them, and then maybe throw somebody else in there, and then it elevates him to being able to take the belt off of Brock. Because Brock is not a face. He's not a heel. He's above brand because he's Brock. People are going to cheer him in certain spots. People are always going to pop because he's a big attraction. So McIntyre would be able to establish himself as a monster in a sense if he takes out the current main event and then elevates himself enough to be a credible threat against Brock. And shit, we also remember, don't we have a Saudi Arabia trip coming up in a month or so after Mania? So that could always throw things off because, you know, that's going to be like a big house show that they might try to do something with. So, yeah, Lesnar wins, Rollins loses. Where they go exactly, not sure. But, you know, they also have to call people up and shift stuff around because it's after Mania. So I guess we'll find out. But, yeah, Lesnar wins.
Kofi's getting the SmackDown title. We'll talk about the women's title next. One of these three title matches is not ending with a babyface going over, and in my opinion, this is it. Brock Lesnar retains. The fan in me wants Seth Rollins to take the belt because the fan in me enjoys seeing the heavyweight champion on the show on a weekly basis. The businessman in me knows that Brock Lesnar moves the needle when it comes to television ratings, when it comes to pay-per-view views, when it comes to subscriptions for the network on match before shows that he wrestles on. Lesnar is a draw, and the WWE realizes this. Lesnar keeps the title. The women's triple threat main event of the show as SmackDown champion Charlotte, Raw champion Ronda Rousey, and Royal Rumble winner Becky Lynch square off. Winner takes all. Tony?
Yeah, I mean, Becky's got to be the winner here. And I don't know if that's just the fandom that we've, you know, built. But Ronda, she's probably leaving. Charlotte is the choice that I'm sure the WWE would want us to believe that they want. But this is Becky's story, and I think Becky wins it.
Andrew.
Yeah, I feel like we're all going to be on the same page here, unless Harry wants to really just throw us a curveball for shits and giggles. But yeah, it's the perfect culmination of the Becky story. everybody's behind her, the whole Stone Cold Becky Balboa fuck the system kind of thing. So yeah, Becky's the one that the fans kind of want at the moment, regardless of the fact that Charlotte is the franchise, corporate, whatever word you want to throw in there. But yeah, Becky should win this.
There's going to be no shits and giggles attempted throwing off from me here. This is Becky's moment. It has to be. You've been building towards this story ever since the sympathetic reaction she got in the build towards the match with Ronda Rousey, going towards Survivor Series, and then even more so once she got hurt right before Survivor Series and fought through it, displaying the heart and the balls of a complete and total badass. The man becomes the man with the titles this Sunday night. Tony, are you sticking around for our NXT preview?
No.
I didn't imagine you were. I figured I would ask in advance. So there you have it. That is the fourth annual WrestleMania preview prediction spectacular. Tony, if I had to ask you, what one thing are you looking forward to most at WrestleMania this year? What is it?
Becky Lynch winning the title and hopefully having a feel-good moment during the show. Not necessarily Becky Lynch, but having the moment that I've been looking for throughout this entire build and have yet to feel.
Andrew, same question. What are you most looking forward to at WrestleMania?
You know, just to not copy Tony's response, because, you know, Becky Lynch is like the biggest storyline coming out of things. But I'm curious how the Kofi situation is going to be handled. If we're going to get a happy ending, if we're going to get a swerve, if we're going to get a giant middle finger, you know, like Hunter and Booker T. Like, I don't know if they're going to try to drag that out further or if they're going to finally pay it off. So that's the curiosity that has me right there.
I have been a professional wrestling fan since I started watching with my grandfather and my uncles around the age of 4 or 5 back in the late 80s, early 90s. There are generational wrestlers when it comes to this business, people that you get to see once in a lifetime. Kurt Angle is one of those wrestlers to me. I want to see Angle turn back the clock at WrestleMania on Sunday and be the Kurt Angle that he was just one more time. I don't expect him to do so, but God, it would warm my heart to see it. Thanks for everything, Kurt. We'll miss you. That's going to officially wrap up this episode of The Raw Reaction. Andrew, we're going to do a brief musical interlude, and then we'll do takeover picks. Sound good?
Sound good.
All right. For the line in the sand, Andrew Balazs, and the Down Since Day One co-host, Tony Acero, I'm Harry Broadhurst. This has been your WrestleMania Prediction Spectacular. We will see you next Monday night for the Raw after Mania. Tony, hit your lawn.
Deuces, bitches. Happy anniversary. Bye.
Y'all get the guns, the drugs from my generation. I'll take the fall. The state and across the nation. And it's a sin. The guns, the freaks, the fraud, the messer with me. Yeah.
my favorite Raw theme song of all time, Andrew.
Yeah, that it's not a bad one. I just like we've had the conversation a few weeks ago. I don't really rate them because they don't always stick with me.
Although I feel like if Tony were still here, he would be singing the praises of the WrestleMania theme song, or is it TakeOver that it's Billie Eilish?
Eilish, and it's TakeOver.
Okay, well, thank you, because I can't say I paid enough attention. Which
yeah,
is weird,
fine.
Because TakeOver theme songs tend to capture my attention, because it's bands that I like, bands that I've heard of, bands that I'm familiar with. The Billy song doesn't do a whole lot for me.
It's funny when it comes to Billy because it starts off slow and then you kind of have to wait for the chorus to kick and then it changes tempo. So you might like it if you give it a second. I say it's funny because like Tony and I were talking, I kind of fell ass backwards into even knowing who she was because I watched the Hot Ones YouTube show where they eat the spicy wings with a different hot sauce and the guy asks some questions. And she was on it like 3 weeks ago, and I didn't know who the fuck she was. So I thought she was just going to be another teenage imbecile. And I was pleasantly surprised. She can sing well, and she's got good talent. And then I think Barbie Hayden actually posted on Twitter that she was changing her entrance music from, what, Sex Metal Barbie. And then she just put a couple Billie Eilish kind of lyrics on there. So I'm just like, oh, wait, Billie Eilish? And she's like, yeah, it is. I'm like, oh, that works. Okay, cool. So it's funny how like Billie Eilish is like kind of caught fire all of a sudden in like the last month or so, just in my little, you know, bubble, so to speak.
Well, that seems to be a very common occurrence for like NXT bands too. It's like once the NXT Loud happens, the more underdeveloped ones of those tend to get more mainstream exposure, and the songs for the mainstream bands that they use tend to find themselves working their way up the charts just because wrestling fans tend to look up these songs. I know I personally always look up the songs, especially if it's one that captures my attention the first time I hear it, even in the sound bites.
No, that's understandable, and that's a good way to start looking stuff up. Broaden your horizons, you know?
Absolutely. Speaking of NXT, I do believe it's time we do some takeover predictions, Andrew.
I guess we could. We could get around to that one, sure.
Know what I say to that? Segway! All right, let's move on here. Okay, so there are 5 matches announced for NXT TakeOver, as per usual. There will obviously be a couple taped before the TakeOver event goes live for NXT TV next week, but let's stick to the 5 that are actually on the card for the TakeOver event. The reason I don't think we get a Raw Tag Team title match at WrestleMania is because of this match. The NXT Tag Team titles are on the line when the winners of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, Aleister Black and Ricochet, take on the War Raiders. Who you got?
I've got the War Raiders mainly because we've seen them up on main roster already. I think while they're making their live kind of rounds, Ricochet already kind of said goodbye. So that spoils things a little bit to me. So it's probably going to be a damn good match because War Machine, War Raiders, whatever you want to call them, plus Ricochet and Black, it should be good. But this should just help to solidify the War Raiders as a bigger threat.
Yeah, I'm more curious as to where the War Raiders go after TakeOver because this almost feels like a... What's the word I'm looking for here? A foregone conclusion, maybe? With Aleister and Ricochet, like you said, on the main rosters on both Raw and SmackDown on basically a weekly basis here, and Rowe and Henson left behind to carry the banner for the NXT Tag Team Division, I'm almost feeling like you're going to end up having to go back along the lines of the Street Profits, back along the lines of running it back with the Undisputed Era, back along the lines of, you know, that kind of thing, where it's, we're going to rehash the NXT Tag Team Division with the teams that we currently have and whoever else may or may not get added over the course of WrestleMania weekends, because you know they like to do debuts during the course of WrestleMania weekend as well.
True enough.
Pete Dunne defends the WWE United Kingdom Championship against Volter.
Yeah, I think Dunne's working on, what, 800 days as champion so far, right?
About 7, but close, yes.
I knew it was something ridiculous.
It's damn near 2 calendar years. May 20th, 2017 was when he won the title off of Tyler Bate at TakeOver Chicago.
Oh, okay, okay. So, yeah, nearly 2 years. Damn. So you were saying your German bit. Go, go.
I was just going to say, as a German, it prides me in pronouncing it Volter.
I noticed you pronounced it correctly. I was going to pronounce it super American and super white, but you pronounced it correctly. Good job. And that's also who I've got winning, because as we've just put over, Dunk held it for a long time. And his last few matches have been a lot closer than they used to was, and his match against Coffee, like, that wasn't very good. And he definitely definitely looked mortal, and it wasn't great. And I think Walter's going to kill him. It's going to be competitive, obviously, but, like, I think Walter's just going to manhandle him at some point.
I'm picking Walter, and I have 3 words as to why.
Go.
International superstar shakeup. Pete Dunne ends up on one of the main brands. I would not be surprised to see Dunne move to SmackDown in the superstar shakeup.
He might move to 205 Live, too, sadly. He's already got the Bruiserweight moniker, so the Bruiserweight as a Cruiserweight, it almost seems too WWE. Did you drop out or mute yourself, or are you just baffled by how on the nose that seems for a WWE gimmick? There we go.
My phone crashed on me. Sorry about that.
Oh, and you know what? That was just a perfect song to play because I thought you were just, like, ribbing me. Because you know the feelings that we all have when you used to play that a few months ago. And I'm like, oh, that's your answer. Okay, thanks. But
no,
yeah.
I actually didn't hear what you said. My phone crashed on me. I know what, I caught bits and pieces about you mentioning Pete Dunne to 205 Live, and I feel like the smart fans would revolt if that happened.
I don't think they care about the smart fans because the smart fans aren't watching 205 Live anyway because no one is. So, and like I was saying, Bruiserweight is a moniker. So Bruiserweight is the Cruiserweight champion. That's so WWE. It hurts.
That time it was on purpose.
And see, now you know why I thought you did it on purpose, motherfucker.
All right, let's move on here. The North American title is on the line when Matt Riddle challenges the Velveteen Dream. This is kind of a pick'em for me.
Yeah, this is kind of a toss-up for me as well. Which it bothers me because, you know, I've got that perfect NXT record for like the last 2 or 3 takeovers going. I know, but this hurts because I'm just like, I'm not 100% sure. And I think I went with my heart a little more than I did with Story, even though Riddle hasn't looked wonderful in some of his matches and Dream is Dream. And you can really build off of him and who I have winning the NXT championship versus Dream wouldn't make a ton of sense. So I've got Dream retaining here. What about you?
I have Matt Riddle winning the title for the exact reason of the main event, which tells me that we might be about to disagree on the main event as well.
We might. Let's do the ladies.
It is a fatal four-way with potential stipulation to be added, according to the rumors for this week's NXT television, as Shayna Baszler defends against Kairi Sane, Io Shirai, and Bianca Belair. I have a bold prediction-ish, but I'll let you go first.
Did you read spoilers? Do you know what this added caveat is? Because I did not. I didn't realize there was a rumored caveat.
I have not read the spoilers as to what the caveat is. I just know that there's talk going around that they're going to be adding one on NXT TV this week.
Yeah, that could possibly change my pick. It might not, because my pick is Io Shirai, mainly because I don't see putting it back on Kairi, because that would make her, what, a three-time for no real reason. No, Shayna should come up. Granted, she's also kind of carrying Shafir and Jessamine, so I don't really know what they're going to do with her. I'd like to see her called up. Kairi doesn't need it. Io could, because Bianca just lost the last title match fairly convincingly, because it wasn't exactly the best match. So I'd like to kind of see Shirai and Belair start a feud instead of just put it on Belair. So, yeah, Shirai's my pick.
I'm picking Io Shirai as well, but here's where the boldness of my prediction comes in.
Shoot.
She pins Kairi Sane to win the title.
I could see it. I don't think it's going to hurt their friendship, because they've had so many matches in Stardom, it's mind-numbing. So it's not like one beating the other is going to break anything.
Baszler to the main roster. Bianca Belair back to the mid-card. Sorry, Bianca. And then I wouldn't be surprised to see the Sky Pirates battle over the NXT Women's title.
No, which is fair, because that could take us to SummerSlam for Io versus Kairi, just a straight-up one-on-one, which people will pop for, and the smart fans will, like, have orgasms for hours. So that's good, and then you bring up Kairi in the summer. That's perfectly fine. But, yeah, I like that.
Okay, so I'm going to make a prediction on your prediction.
Okay.
I am predicting that you are picking Adam Cole for the main event.
Baby!
Yeah. When you mentioned Velveteen retaining, it told me that you were probably picking Cole.
Yeah, you took Gargano? Why?
I took Gargano because I think Gargano stays in NXT and is the man to put the NXT heavyweight title on the Velveteen Dream.
That would be a weird kind of cut. See, my only issue with that would then kind of be that Dream can only beat Gargano for titles, because Dream's been in a couple other title matches where he got outclassed and is beat fairly, you know, wholly. And then he beats Gargano for the NA, and then now we get this one for the NXT. It's a little too much symmetry for me, but I see. Go.
The only other heavyweight title opportunity that Velveteen's had was against Tommaso Ciampa at TakeOver Survivor Series, TakeOver Toronto.
He was also in the ladder match, which he lost.
The North American ladder match, but that was a six-way.
I just meant title match in general.
Yeah, but nobody ate a fall in that match, so it's not like anybody specifically beat anybody else for that title. They won it by climbing up a ladder.
There's one winner. Come on, it's Ricky Bobby. You're either first or you're last. There's, you know, especially in wrestling, there's no second place. Dream. Dream hasn't been able to win any big feuds either. Like, I think the first person he actually got a takeover win over was EC3, and EC3 was like a wet fart in NXT, so.
His first takeover win was against Kashi Sano.
Everybody's first. That doesn't count. That's like the baby set. I meant the real one. Everybody beats Ono. Come on.
Oh, poor hero.
It's true. You should make a reality show. It's like, instead of like everybody hates Chris, it's everybody beats Cassius. That's what we need.
If that doesn't end up as a soundbite on the Chair Shot Studio, nothing will.
I guess off the top of
really funny. Yeah, that's really funny. I feel like we're going to have to queue that up for eventual use here on the show once again.
Perhaps. So, yes, with Cassius Ohno aside, his only real win was against EC3 before he kind of got that ball rolling. So, Dream really hasn't had a lot of takeover success. So, that's It's interesting that you see him going up against Gargano for that belt and taking it off of him. It's interesting.
Yeah, but
I don't hate it. Don't get me wrong.
It's just too. You'll notice here, too, I have his takeover failures continuing at this show, dropping the North American title to Riddle.
You do. You do. And it's just, it's funny how you're just like, and Johnny Gargano is going to always job to Velveteen Dream. That's how that one goes. It's just like, all right, fine. I see how you're booking that.
I mean, technically speaking, Austin beat Rock at Mania twice before Rock got his win back.
I'm not arguing it. I just said I see it, and I said I didn't hate it. But my main reasoning for Cole is just because Undisputed Era is obviously not going anywhere, and it also kind of solves the War Raider issue, where if Cole is the champion, and he already kind of said either on TV or on an interview somewhere where he wants Undisputed Era to all hold gold one more time, that could kind of be his motto, moniker, whatever, as NXT champion, is to try to get everybody in Undisputed Era back up elevated. So he just kind of, it's like a Ric Flair Four Horsemen type thing where he just tries to bring everybody up and take all the gold and just dominate NXT for 6 months to a year.
See, you want Ric Flair Four Horsemen. I went Triple H Evolution and almost hit the play button on Line in the Sand again.
You did. You did. No, I get exactly where you're going with, and that's why I said I don't hate what you're saying. But my two biggest toss-ups are the Dream match and this match, and I could see it going so many ways. And this match is just such a crapshoot because it wasn't even supposed to fucking happen. So it's just saying this is such a throw-together match. So.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that this match was supposed to be Gargano beating Ciampa for the NXT title.
That I would agree with, yes.
To finally
and
put their feud to bed once and for all, especially after Gargano saw through his shit at the end of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team semifinal match.
Yes, that was nice. That was nice. And then you have to wonder, how old school is NXT? Because there's old school train of thought where you always let the guy who's replacing in the main event win the match.
Well, tell that to Barry Windham.
You know, there's obviously exceptions to everything, but you've heard Cornette plenty of times. You've heard Pritchard. A lot of the old school train of thought was if there's a card subject to change, whoever gets changed in wins.
Well, usually that applies to baby faces, though, not to heels. Then again, you could make the argument that for one instance here, you could make the argument here for one instance that Greg is actually correct, because there are very few actual established heels and faces in NXT.
Yeah, plus Adam Cole is the cool heel. If we want to actually establish anything, Gargano babyfaced himself after seeing through Ciampa's shit and throwing him into the whatever the fuck wall of LED, whatever fuck that is. And Cole is
LED
the
bro.
Cool NWO heel. So they both get cheers. They both get big fan reactions. So they're both faces technically, even though, you know, I just said one is, one isn't. But, you know, like the fan favoritism, no one's going to be upset really, I think, with the outcome of the match. So, yeah, it's a toss-up. This one's hard.
I will say this much. I don't hate your idea, if only because it is a lot of fun to say, Adam Cole!
Baby!
It's just fun to say
play us, now you should play us out with the Undisputed Era music if you have it.
I don't think I do, but now I'm going to look to see if I do.
You motherfucker, of all themes to not have, that's one of the best ones at the moment.
Talk to Greg, like, I don't control the soundboard.
It sounds like such good porn music.
Boom.
Yeah, there we go. That's the kind of boom you want.
No, I don't think I have Undisputed Era.
All right, fine.
This will change shortly, I assure you. even if I have to buy the damn MP3 myself.
Well, especially if they win. So if Adam Cole wins TakeOver, we may just have to open up, you know, next week's reaction with a little bit of porn music.
The big thing for me to come out of this with an Adam Cole victory would be that we would see the Undisputed Era going after the tag team titles once again. However, I think it would be the original team for the Undisputed Era. I think it would be War Raiders and Red Dragon.
Agreed completely. And Strong versus Dream for the NA would be great.
Or Strong versus Riddle, which I do believe would be a first-time ever matchup.
It could be. There could have been a little bit of crossover with PWG or something like that, but I don't know all of the random indie shit that well with them.
There is one minor problem with all the Undisputed Era holding all the gold in NXT, as there is a rumor going around. Again, we're dealing with rumor and innuendo here. Shout out to Bruce Pritchard and Something to Wrestle With. If you guys haven't listened, it's well worth your time. That you asked what they were going to do with Marina Shafir and Jessamyn Duke. Well, the rumor is that Shafir joins Undisputed Era.
Oh, well, yeah, because it's Roddy's wife. So I've seen that too.
Which means Jessamyn Duke fades into obscurity.
Yeah, sadly. Unless they just bring her up with Shayna as muscle, kind of like they were going to do with Emma and Dana before Emma got hurt.
Speaking of which, Tennille Dashwood has left Ring of Honor. Do you think this means she shows up on either of the big two? Does this is Emma All
Elite?
Who
is number two to you? Yeah, I guess. Wait, why are we calling All Elite number two? They haven't even run a fucking event yet. Their number, who knows? They're just hyped right now. So, yes, I think she's going to join All Elite because they're trying to fill out their roster. What? And that's why Impact killed off Allie. But, you know, yeah, Tennille's not going back to WWE.
What was the joke right now that All Elite Wrestling is like the world's number three t-shirt company right now?
Something like that. And it's like, yeah, don't take what I said as me. Go.
Until they have an actual show, they're basically just a t-shirt company?
More or less. Like, I'm not shitting on them at all, but the hype is a little overdone. Like, there's so many people saying, like, oh, All Elite's already the best thing, and All Elite's this, and I love this. And I'm like, you don't even know what it is. They don't have TV. They haven't fucking officially done a show yet. All In, I thought it was all right. It wasn't, like, the best pay-per-view. It wasn't fantastic. And there were downsides like penis druids, but some people like that kind of shit. But regardless, so let's wait and see with that.
my review of All In coming soon to the website. We'll talk a little bit about the website here shortly.
Now, did you actually find it where you have access to?
Mm-hmm. Both
Cool.
The Battle Royal and both the battle the pre-show and the main show.
Oh, the 0 hour and the official. Nice. The tag match is the best thing on 0 hour. Like SoCal Uncensored and the Briscoes, good match.
Yeah, but I'm kind of looking forward to the over-budget Battle Royal.
It's not a bad Battle Royal, don't get me wrong.
Oh, no, I don't review Battle Royals per se. I'll just give thoughts about a couple of the competitors and some of the spots and stuff. But knowing some of the names that are in the over-budget Battle Royal, it brings up some intrigue to me, too, especially with this being the first time that I will see the son of Billy Gunn.
Oh, Austin? Yeah. He wasn't bad. Him and Billy had some nice moments together. It was really a pretty well-done Battle Royal. For as well as Battle Royals go, I didn't hate it. And you are aware of who Chico El Luchador is, right?
I am not aware of who Chico El Luchador is.
You may want to educate yourself a little bit on it.
I've never actually heard the name.
You know who Rocky Romero is, right?
Yes, I know who Rocky Romero is.
So, there is a parody kind of thing that he does where he started it with the Bucks and, like, on All Elite, where the Bucks were trying to say, like, oh, Chico is the legend, the originator of, like, monetizing t-shirts. And then he kind of took that gimmick and spun it into even more. So he has this whole YouTube, like, parody documentary with Maeve Deltzer as one of the main guys that talk about him. And it's called Scuffling with Shade, kind of like Fighting with Shadows.
Wasn't it Wrestling with Shadows?
You know what I mean.
Yes.
The Bret Hart one. I'm not the big of a Bret Hart fan. But regardless, so it's Scuffling with Shade. You've got Cody does things. Okada does things. It's supposed to be taken tongue-in-cheek. But if you do not know who Chico is, there is a moment in the Battle Royal which you will probably just be like, what the fuck is this?
Fair enough. I will.
So it's one of those inside baseballs.
I will ask for your sage advice once I get there. Fair enough.
Oh, no, that's fine. I'm just, there's a lot of inside baseball stuff with All Elite and the associated friends.
That's basically the running gag for being the Elite too. So that the inside baseball stuff, it isn't really a surprise.
Yes. So if you followed being the Elite around the time when All In was being, you know, planned out and right before it came up, then you'll get most of the inside jokes.
I'm working on being the Elite going into All In order to prepare myself for the review.
Good. Smart move.
I'm doing my homework.
You need a little bit of, yeah, you need a little bit of context for some of the shit that they pull.
And then other shit like Marty Scurll going 25 minutes when he was told to go 12.
That's not completely true. Depending on who you're listening to, obviously. But the Bucks and Marty have kind of been on record to say they went 1 minute over. It didn't actually go that long on other things. Granted, we could all be getting worked by God knows who's saying what, but I don't think it's all on Marty, especially since the Bucks use it as a gimmick in one of the being the Elite things. Like, he's late to things, or he oversleeps, or he overstays his welcome at, like, parties or something like that. So the fact that they turn it into a gimmick means they're obviously not that upset.
Well, didn't they have to write him off since he signed with Ring of Honor, though?
They did, but remember, All In also happened a while ago. Yes. All In happened a while back. Yes.
Yes, All In was back in September.
Correct.
All right. I think that's about it for us tonight, Andrew.
Yeah, and we've got enough different ones on this, which, shit, I think we've got more different than the same. So, hey, that's always fun.
What are you looking forward to most about the G1 Supercard?
Ooh, that's a good one. The Bushi Naito is going to be a damn good match for the Intercontinental Championship. I'm kind of looking forward to how much they're going to boo Juice Robinson out of the building when he shows up for Bully Ray's Open Challenge. Jushin Thunder Liger is going to be in the Honor Battle Royal. So he'll get a big pop because he's Jushin and he's on his retirement tour. You heard that, right?
Everything that I said about Kurt Angle earlier applies to Jushin Liger as well.
I'm just making sure. I wasn't sure if you knew that he announced as of the Tokyo Dome show in January he's retiring. So, okay, good. Of course, the main event with Okada and Jay White's going to be good. Who's going to win? That's up to me.
I'm actually kind of looking forward to the Chase Owens match. Isn't Owens challenging for the Intercontinental title?
No, Ibushi and Naito are challenging for the Intercontinental. Chase Owens challenged Juice for the U.S. title already at the final day of the Cup. Yeah, Chase already challenged Juice at the...
In Japan. Damn it. I wanted to see that match. Okay. I like Chase Owens. I've worked with Chase Owens before. Chase is a good dude.
It was not a good match. It was overbooked American WWE bullshit where there was ref bump, manager interference, powder. Another person came in to try to beat the shit out of him, hit him with a spear. Then there was malfunction at the junction, which is what helped the face to kind of go over. So, yeah, that it was a clusterfuck. I'm sorry.
So now I'm going to have to look up the final day of New Japan Cup in order to figure out what the fuck just happened.
Yes. And
thankfully,
while you're at it, watch Sonata and Okada, because it was a fantastic fucking match. That was a 5-star match. Like, it was fucking amazing.
I am not on the Kazuchika Okada bandwagon. I'm not a fan. He doesn't do it for me.
You also don't think gender has psychology. I don't even know what to think about you anymore.
Gender has rest holds.
Because of the perception that people have in WWE, you see people put a headlock on somebody and anything else, you think, okay, so he's setting him up for something. And
I
it's
will
the
say
same
this
thing
much.
With gender, but there's just shitty commercial breaks.
I will say this much for gender. I don't think he applied a rest hold tonight. In fairness, his match with Apollo Crews was like a minute and a half long.
I was about to say that was short as shit. But yeah, I can't believe it. You and your Okada hate, like, that bothers me a little bit. A little bit.
I don't hate Okada. I'm just not as on board with him as everybody else seems to be. To me, it was clear as day that Kenny Omega carried their series.
Oh, fuck that. Come on, give me a break here. Kenny Omega does the same move 7 times, overreacts to everything. He's got the big dumb fucking look on his face, goes for big over-the-top spots just for the wow factor, where Okada's got a lot of psychology in his spots. His spots are a lot more precise, a lot more intricate, and Okada doesn't have a bad match with anybody. Omega's had some clunkers recently in New Japan. Like, think about his entire championship run with a fucking snorefest. Like, Omega's fine. He is not anywhere near the best in the world at the moment. Not anywhere close.
I didn't say that Omega was the best in the world, but from a purely...
And there's no carrying. There's no carrying. Oh, my God.
I mean personality-wise. I don't mean in terms of in-ring work. I mean in terms of personality. To me, when it comes to watching New Japan, because I don't watch a ton of New Japan. We've had this conversation off-air before, so we may as well bring it on-air. I do not watch a ton of New Japan because I find it hard to get into the shows. It's a product I don't understand that I do not watch on a consistent enough basis to get into on a regular basis. That being said, there is something about the personality of a guy like Omega that appeals to me, whereas Okada does not have that wow factor to draw me in.
Yeah, Omega doesn't do anything for me. He's a typical white guy that overreacts to everything. He's in leather and he does flashy enough moves. He is every white guy in the indies currently. And like, I don't really understand the draw.
If I were to pick one guy from the current New Japan roster who I would say most appeals to me in terms of the American style, the guy over in New Japan right now that I think would be the biggest star in the U.S. is Hiroshi Tanahashi.
So you
because Tanahashi
has been wrestling for 20 years and has 2 bad knees. Huh.
But Tanahashi has more of a personality than Okada does to me.
Yeah, I think that's coming from the fact that you don't watch it.
Tanahashi
the most
comes across
personality. Go.
Tanahashi comes off as a larger-than-life personality over in Japan. Okada does not.
Yeah. Yeah, you can have that opinion since you don't watch much of it. And Okada does have a larger-than-life personality over there. But depending on when you watched, you were also watching when the fans were turning against him because he was getting arrogant and people were turning on the character, so he seemed less. And Tanahashi's been the ace of the company for the last 15 years, so that's why he does have that whole larger-than-life persona. But come on. He plays an invisible guitar. There was a storyline at some point where Naito stole his invisible guitar to set up a championship match. If you want somebody who has personality that can translate beyond language, it's Naito.
I was not super impressed with his match with Jericho.
You took it for one match. Do you have any basis on his character beyond that one match?
I've seen a couple previous Wrestle Kingdoms. Like, I know the one that he main evented against Tanahashi I have on DVD around here somewhere. I want to say that was 9. I believe that was 9. Nakamura and Ibushi for the Intercontinental title. So I think it was Wrestle Kingdom 9. The one right before Nakamura and Styles came over to the WWE. I believe the main event of that. I believe the main event of that that Wrestle Kingdom was Naito and Tanahashi. I think
9 was still Okada. Naito and Styles were 9.
Maybe.
Now I have to check. Hold on.
It's been a while since I've watched it. I got it on DVD a couple of days after it happened. I won't say how. I'll just say that I did.
You blew a guy, didn't you?
Well, sometimes you do things for Dr. Pepper that you're not proud of, Andrew.
There we go. Yes, it was Naito, Styles, and 9. Nakamura, Ibushi, Tanahashi, Okada.
Huh. Good show, then. No, and I think that could actually make for an interesting what I watched on Chair Shot as well, me going and reviewing some New Japan shows.
It could.
Just because of the inexperience thing for me. It's not being super familiar with a ton of the people over there. I mean, obviously there are people over there I know more than others. There are people over there that I've worked shows with before. So I have a little bit more experience when it comes to some of the people than I do with others.
Which is fair.
What's their next big show? What would it be? Dominion?
The really, really big show would be Dominion, yes. They do have other shows before Dominion, obviously. But when it comes to pivotal in the calendar, like, you know, a big four from WWE, Dominion is the next big one. Because then it's the G1 after Dominion.
Yeah, because then the next big show after Dominion is the G1 Climax, right?
And that's multiple shows because it's a tournament that lasts like 6 weeks.
Right, but the finale of the G1 Climax would be considered the next big show.
The whole tournament is considered big. Because there's really not a day you should... The G1 is considered its own thing. They don't boil it down to final day of G1 is best day. It's the G1 Climax itself is something to be absorbed.
I can try.
I'm not saying you have to sit through it. That's not what I'm saying. But it's like the champion carnival for all Japan. Like, the whole tournament is considered a thing. It's not just tune in for the finals.
And that's something that we American fans don't really get because we don't really do the round-robin tournaments over here in the United States.
You are completely correct, yes. Yes.
I think that for maybe a traditional American wrestling fan such as myself, there's a very large investment that would go into a Champions Carnival, into a G1 Climax, into a Stardom World Grand Prix.
There is. And it's also the same as when you have your perception of the New Japan characters, because their charisma comes from their in-ring persona. And if you need to connect with them some other way by, like, over-the-top expressions or understanding what they're saying, or you need to have some kind of connection, there will be a loss in there, obviously. It's the same thing that, you know, WWE fans have with Kofi and, you know, African-American wrestlers being squashed most of the time or sent to the mid-card, or there being that glass ceiling kind of perception. So it's a very similar perception when you're absorbing both products.
Excuse me. I'll try to give Dominion a watch this year. We've talked about New Japan World before. I'll try to give Dominion a watch here. I will say this much. Mm-hmm. I am going to be pulling the trigger on this soon. It'll either be the High Spots Wrestling Network or Club WWN. I have not decided which of those two yet, but it will be one or the other that I will be adding to my collection of streaming services.
Oh. WWN's the one that has Evolve, right?
Evolve, Dragon Gate USA, which I actually did order the very first Dragon Gate USA American pay-per-view. FIP, FIP, Shine, and a bunch of like random other stuff too. Whereas
High Spot does PWG,
Combat Zone, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, WSU, the various other modern American indies, Glory Pro, Wrestling Revolver, that kind of stuff.
To be honest, since I know you have a better appetite for it than I do, to just put it nicely, the IWA, Mid-South, CZW kind of stuff, we don't really have a lot of on ChairShot. We don't really have people that cover death matches, and I know you tend to have a soft spot for that somewhere. So that's a thought.
Well, this would be the point where I would put myself over and say that if you would like to hear me on a deathmatch show, pick up the 2018 King of the Deathmatches. I'm your ring announcer for the tournament.
Hey, see, that was a good one.
You set them up, I knock them down. And where would these reviews be getting posted at, Andrew?
Well, ideally, they'd be posted at thechairshot.com. Unless you're working with someone else and you didn't tell me.
No, I only do my reviews specifically on the Chair Shot nowadays. I do SmackDown over for another organization, but I only do typed reviews over at thechairshot.com nowadays.
Okay, just checking.
Speaking of which, Progress Chapter 6 to be uploaded soon. I will keep you guys updated as far as whether I go the High Spots Wrestling Network or the Club WWN route. Odds are I'm probably going to go Club WWN just because of Shine. And I'm going to be sending out feelers to a couple of other organizations as to whether or not I might be able to get access to do reviews for them. So I will keep everybody updated as far as that goes. The Impact Slammiversary and Bound for Glory reviews are already over at the Chair Shot. Progress Chapters 1 through 3 are over at the Chair Shot. You can find all those by clicking on my name in the writer page, or if you find one of the reviews, just click on my name inside of the article and it'll take you to my complete article list. You can do the same thing for Andrew over there as well. He has a huge ass archive of show reviews done over there at thechairshot.com as well.
Yes, I do. Too many. And then this week's not going to help anything. It's not going to be fun. I mean, it's going to be fun, but it's just a whole different kind of fun.
You're sitting over there saying, I watch too much fucking wrestling. And then you're like, I'm going to watch more fucking wrestling.
Yeah, it really is. I guess it's masochistic to some degree.
There's a reason we watch. Hopefully it's to be entertained. Usually I am, despite what some people tend to think about my thought process towards the business.
Hey, we don't have to mention names.
I will let him listen to the show and know who he is.
Yeah, I think he knows.
But I do think that's going to wrap us up, Andrew.
That sounds like a plan.
Ladies and gentlemen, who am I kidding? Gentlemen, it is the biggest week of the wrestling calendar here in the United States. Regardless of what it is related to professional wrestling that you enjoy, take the time to enjoy it, to appreciate the sacrifices that these men and women make for us, the entertainment that they provide. Remember always that they are people as well. Yes, I will sit here and I will shit on somebody because I was like Nia, garbage. I've said for months, she's freaking garbage. I wouldn't want anything to happen to Nia the person. Remember that they're busting their bodies for our entertainment. Enjoy. Maybe get yourself some caffeine for Sunday night if you're planning on watching WrestleMania. Are you really going to subject yourself to sitting outside in MetLife for 7 hours? Fucking A.
I don't plan on it.
What
if the price comes up? I may not be able to say no.
What's the weather going to be like for MetLife this Sunday, out of curiosity? You're in that vicinity. You would be able to know this.
it's Jersey weather. There really is no way to figure it out. Honestly, regardless of what weather says.
We'll look at the window. So it's like an Ohio situation?
Probably. We're not that far apart.
It's like an Ohio situation where you could have all four seasons in one day?
Yes. Completely like that.
Fair enough. Like I was saying, though, guys, enjoy the shows. Just remember, deep down, we're all fans. We watch because we want to be entertained. Find that thing that entertains you and stick with it. We'll be here to discuss WrestleMania at the start of next week's episode, and then we will get into what they now tell us is the most important Raw of the year, rather than just letting it be the most important Raw of the year. The Raw after WrestleMania, next Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern here. For the Line in the Sand, Andrew Balazs, and the departed co-host, the Down Since Day One co-host, Tony Acero, I'm Harry Broadhurst, thanking you for listening to the Raw Reaction here on the Chair Shot Radio Network. We'll talk to you guys next Monday night at 11:30 for the Raw after WrestleMania and our WrestleMania thoughts as well. Thanks for listening. Talk to you guys next Monday. You have been listening to the Raw Reaction here on the Chair Shot Radio Network. Join us again next Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern as Harry Broadhurst, Tony Acero, and Andrew Balazs bring you the Raw After Mania here on the Chair Shot Radio Network, online at thechairshot.com.